Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, last night, 2-0 series leads to the Rockets, to the Celtics, and to the Milwaukee Bucks. Joining us, our next guest, friend of the show, an analyst for NBA on TNT and NBA TV, who are combining to televise over 40 playoff games, the most of any network, continuing tonight with a trio of Game 3s, Sixers-Nets, with our next guest on the call at 8 o'clock on TNT, Nuggets-Spurs at 9 o'clock on NBA TV, and Warriors-Clippers at 10:30 on TNT. Our guest, Greg Anthony. Greg, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, D.A., I'm doing great, my man. How are you?
Doing great, man. Appreciate the time. And we were discussing how good the Rockets have looked in the first two games against a really good defensive team with the Utah Jazz. They were never really quite healthy for most of the season. Are the Rockets playing their best basketball right now?
Yes, no doubt about it. And you saw it. It's not just how incredible they've been offensively, and in particular, James Harden. But defensively, they look like the team they were a season ago. And in some respects, you know, I think they may be a little better defensively this year because of some of the additions that they've made. You know, I think Kenneth Faried coming off the bench has made a huge difference for them as a team. I think they're a better rebounding team than they were a season ago as well. And in reality, I think James Harden, and it's hard to say this, but I think he continues to get better. And ultimately, it's going to come down, though, to their health. You know, there was a big bugaboo a season ago. Can they sustain that throughout the course of this postseason? And while I do think the Jazz will play a little better at home, obviously, and will get back in the series to a certain extent, I do think the Rockets are the biggest threat in that Western Conference to Golden State.
Is it a good thing if the Rockets do dispatch the Jazz early for the Rockets to get the Warriors in the second round instead of waiting until the Western Finals? Because I would have thought, well, you want to wait as long as possible before facing Golden State. But if the Rockets are peaking right now, maybe it's best if they face them as quickly as possible. Is that true?
You know, coming into the postseason, my thought process was you want to get the Warriors later because of the totality of what they've gone through over the last five seasons. You know, they could be the first teams. You got to go back to the 50s Celtics to be the first team to go to five consecutive finals. And the wherewithal, the wear and tear, the mental frustrations, the highs and lows that you go through over the course of that stretch of time, it wears on you. Having said that, though, I think you also want to factor in, if you're the Rockets, we're at our best now. We need to be at our best to beat them. Let's get them as soon as possible. Couple that with the fact that you're dealing with the loss of DeMarcus Cousins, right? So that's going to completely change the identity in some respects and the versatility of the Warriors team. So I think you're spot on there. I think if you're Houston, you want to get out of this series as quickly as possible, as healthy as possible, to give yourself the best opportunity to dethrone the two-time defending champ.
Greg Anthony joins us from NBA TV and the NBA on TNT. Who are the real Celtics, or the real Sixers, pardon me? Is it the real Sixers, the team that kind of got worked by Brooklyn in game number one, or the team that really exploded in game number two and seized control?
The answer is all of the above.
Yeah.
They're both.
Yeah.
They really are. They're not quite yet a championship caliber team. You know, they got their starting five. First time in NBA history, you had five guys that average at least 17 points a game. So, you know, you look at that, you say, wow, that's amazing. But to get to that point, obviously, they don't have the same depth that they've had in the past. And I think that they are a team, even though they are extremely talented, they have areas that you can hurt them in. Obviously, the lack of depth, the fact that if you can keep them out of transition, and you're locked and loaded defensively, you can have an effect on them because, let's face it, their second-best player is a reluctant scorer in the half court. And so that creates some issues for you at times on the floor. I think they still have a lot of talent, but I just don't look at them as being a legit championship-caliber team as of yet. I still think they're, you know, a notch below when you look at maybe Milwaukee and Toronto in that Eastern Conference. And quite frankly, I feel the same way about the Celtics, even though they were really impressive in their win last night and how they won. I just don't know if those teams are quite at the level that you get with Milwaukee and Toronto if all parties are healthy.
Speaking of Milwaukee, they've been a one-and-done team the last 2 years, first round and exit. And this year they're going to get out of the first round, we all assume, and they're a one seed. Outside of Giannis just elevating his play to the next level, what has been so different about this year's Bucks team versus the last two versions?
Well, Mike Budenholzer, I'll start with that as a coach, right? He came in, and from the outside looking in, he saw a team that was not reaching their potential. And by that, I mean they're the number one rebounding team in the league this year. Their scoring margin, number one in the league. They're a much improved passing team and a much improved defensive team. And I think the biggest element he's brought is he's gotten them to buy into to seeking out the best shot as opposed to my turn to get a shot. And I think that's what you're seeing from them. They're top three in field goal percentage. Now, Giannis is going to create a lot of opportunities, but if you look at them as a group, how they share the basketball, they're top seven in assists this season. They had 32 assists last night. Chris Middleton had 8. Okay, you know, Bledsoe with 6. And if you look at what he's done, in essence, he's having all these guys have career years. Chris Middleton, career year. Eric Bledsoe, career year. Prior to him being hurt, Malcolm Brogdon, career year. And let's face it, the guy who's going to probably be the MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is having a career year. So for him to get those guys to understand, in order for them to achieve their individual goals, we as a group collectively got to buy into winning. It's been impressive, and he's been able to connect with these guys in ways that they hadn't shown being capable of doing in the past. And Brooke Lopez has helped them as well. And remember, they still Mirotić is on this roster. You know, Pau Gasol, we don't know if he's going to be a factor, but, you know, they got some guys that can be difference makers if they're completely healthy. But it's impressive to watch them in terms of how they have kind of metamorphosed this season, and they are scary because Giannis, in my mind, most dominant player in the league. I mean, that guy, he is a problem, and there really has no one shown that there's an answer to stop him. Even though we know that he's not a great shooter, he doesn't allow you to attack his weaknesses because of just how dominant he's been this season.
Yeah, they fit so well together, and even last night when they trailed at halftime, you just knew they would turn on the Jets, and they did exactly that. They're up 2-0 in this series. I wonder about Russell Westbrook. Since Kevin Durant left, the Thunder have only won 3 playoff games in 3 years, and they're down 0-2 again to the Portland Trail Blazers. How do you assess Russell Westbrook being this great in the regular season but having this lack of success in the postseason after KD?
Well, a couple things happen. One, he's losing trust in his guys, and I think when that happens, outside of Paul George, you start getting back to playing a little bit of hero ball. And I think that's an issue. Listen, the reality is, too, he's still as relentless as ever, but I don't know that I would say he's as explosive as he's been in the past. And he doesn't have the confidence in his jump shot. I mean, his jump shot has basically left him. And when you get in the postseason, you're going to play against teams that are prepared for you. They know your tendencies. They know all your schemes. They know what you do well, what you don't do well. And if they scheme it right, they can force you to have to be more reliant on other areas of your game. And that's something that's happened. Now, also credit that Portland has been terrific offensively. You know, they shot the three well, shot 40% in that last game. McCollum and Lillard have both been brilliant. And I think the fact that they've also taken care of the ball, because one of the great strengths of this OKC team is their ability to turn you over and get out in transition. Only 12 turnovers in that game, in game two for Portland. So that means they're limiting your opportunities in the open floor and forcing you to have to play 5-on-5. And that's a struggle. That's not the strength of this OKC team. You know, you know, people are going to put it all on Russ, but in reality, they don't have a lot of options outside of Paul George and Westbrook offensively. You know, people will look at Steven Adams and say, oh, you know, he can score. Steven Adams is a complimentary scorer. He's a guy, his points come off what you create for him. And the problem with the rest of that roster outside of Schroeder, they don't have guys that can score against great defense. And that's typically what you're going to see a lot of in the postseason. You know, you're not, your stats are going to be, they aren't based on you getting to play against bottom feeders most of, you know, for half the season. You're only playing against the best teams, and it's harder to score, and they can take away those complimentary players, and that's what's happening in this series. It's really about what can Paul and Westbrook do offensively, and obviously Westbrook's had his struggle. George was pretty good in that game, but also turnovers. You know, he had 5, Westbrook with 6, and that tells you right there that they're having to do more. Their offense isn't being created for them. They've got to be the table setters, and it's been a problem for them against a really inspired Portland team. Remember, this is a team that got embarrassed last year in the postseason, got swept by New Orleans, and they've been thinking about that since that day, and they have responded in kind.
That's a good point. Greg Anthony joins us from the NBA on TNT and NBA TV. Before I let you go, I always hear the comparisons. We're all trying to figure out who the comp is for Zion Williamson, and LJ comes up, Larry Johnson, your former teammate. You would know better than anybody about that comp. What do you think about Zion and LJ as a historical comparison? Ooh.
Well, listen, anytime you're compared to the great Larry Johnson, it's a compliment. And Larry was an explosive athlete, incredible teammate, and would have been a Hall of Famer had not he had the injuries. But Zion, to my mind, takes athleticism to another level. The closer comp for me is Barkley, Sean Kemp. He reminds me of those kind of guys. Like, his athletic ability is so off the charts that until you actually see it, you cannot prepare for it. You can't believe it. I've never seen anybody with that from him. And then on top of that, and I've told Fred, he has incredible instincts to play the games. You know, he led his team, he averaged almost 2 steals and 2 blocks a game and led them in deflection. So when you couple that with his ability to use his athletic ability, it takes him off the charts. I think he's going to be a transcendent talent at the next level, and he's box office on top of all of that. So yeah. I'm as excited as anybody and happy for the young man. I think he is going to be an absolute star at the next level.
Box office, baby. Sixers and Nets with Greg Anthony on the call. 8 o'clock tonight on TNT Eastern Time. Nuggets Spurs at 9 on NBA TV. Warriors Clippers 10:30 p.m. on TNT Eastern Time. TNT NBA TV. The Turner family combining to televise over 40 NBA playoff games, the most of any network. Continuing tonight with a trio of Game 3s. Greg, it is always awesome to catch up, buddy. We'll be listening to the call tonight, man. Enjoy it. And I thank you so much for the time.
Anytime, D.A. All the best, brother.
Okay. Greg Anthony joining us this morning here on the D.A. Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.